Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Strange Stories from the Other Side of Midnight, Volume 6, Story Number 1. I was working at a factory, and that night we got out about 4 a.m. My way out, I noticed the door to our chemical storage, which needs to be temperature regulated, was wide open. Figuring it was the maintenance department, I stuck my head in to check if they were there and called out. No response, but I did hear movement from the back as if by a person. So I head back to check in case one of them was back there and was injured. The entire way back to the back of the room, I hear someone walking. When I reach the back, there's nobody there. But I hear a familiar voice in my head, not mine, tell me, "We need to go now." And then the room just shifts. And it feels like something massive is in there with me. I felt my body flood with adrenaline. And I started walking for the door with that noise of something following behind me. I got out the door, closed it, and everything went back to normal. I could sense that whatever was on the other side of that door was in there, but it was at the same time that it was stuck in that room. I don't know what was in there. And the next time I went back, and the presence was gone. And till this day, I really don't know what that something was. Next story. I work at a construction company. We also do demolitions. I was tasked to supervise the demolition of an old hospital, which will soon be erected with another new hospital building. We were having dinner in the site, and we stayed there for the duration of the contract. Since it's far from the city, it's a five-hour drive. When we started hearing voices. Not one, but several voices coming from everywhere. We were just seven guys, me, an engineer, our two drivers, a safety officer, and three heavy equipment operators at that time. Our laborers went home. We tend to hire local people from around our projects, and we went outside to look where these voices were coming from. We ended up looking at nothing since it's dark and there should be no one out there besides us. Again, we didn't explore half of the demolished building since it wasn't safe. We couldn't fully understand what the voices were saying or talking, but it seemed like what you hear in a busy place. Then we heard a cry. That was the time we said, "Forget it," and went back to our barracks. We've had shovels and picks beside us, hard hats and steel toes on. Nothing deadly happened for the rest of the night. The contract was 2 months for demolition and clearing of the place to give way for the upcoming construction. But we did it for a month. Not really that fast, but totally the longest month in our lives. The haunting night repeated several times. I don't know what happened on the construction team since they're different contractors. But I'm sure they did get a taste of what we did for that full month. Next story. I work at a casino, and while I was removing money from our outside smoke shop casino, it's about 2:30 a.m., and from between the machines I see what looks like a child's arm waving between the machine. No head or body, just an arm. I looked behind the machines thinking it was a co-worker, but no one was there, and the nearest co-worker was about 30 feet away, not close enough to run there in the 2 to 3 seconds it took me to see the arm and look behind the machine. Best part, there is a rumor there is a ghost of a child in that part of the casino. And also, that portion of the casino happens to close at 2 a.m. and is swept by a security, so no one but me and my worker were there at that time. Who that child is and how he ended up haunting a casino has never been answered. Next story. I work at Eastern State Penitentiary every Halloween season. My first season, I experienced a few things. Firstly, I knew about how haunted the penitentiary is, but I wanted to get over my fear of ghosts. So far, so good. I was stationed in a cell block that is super dark. The only light you get is from lasers we have set up. Sometimes I would be all the way in the back, off the cell block by myself, and would feel my costume getting tugged on. I used to think it was my coworker, but then I would realize she was on break. Most times my hair would get pulled and my arm would feel like someone was touching it. One night, when I was starting my shift, I was looking in the cells and I came across this one cell that was darker than the others. I peeked my head in to see what was making it so dark, and the next thing I knew I saw a face of pure evil. No eyes, no smile. I ran down the cell block, refusing to go back there alone. Near the end of my first season, one of the supervisors came and said, "I can't see how you guys can work over here." I, not knowing much of where I was, didn't know what she meant. She stated that the cell block next over, that's blocked off and completely off limits for everyone, was death row. And there were stories about the lady in red being there next door as well. I did not work in that cell block the next season. Next story. I worked at a bank for a few years as a teller in high school. The building was over 100 years old, which is part of what made it so creepy. The basement was basically an abandoned office space and the lights were almost always off. Many times lights would flick on and off down there and curtains to the office would move. The worst, though, was when you were in there alone. I'd have to open the bank by myself on Saturday mornings before anyone else came in. And I just worked in the drive-thru, so on the complete other side of the bank lobby was the other teller stations with super heavy doors that locked automatically. On countless occasions, those doors would slam shut loudly, and I could often hear humming and whistling, and the music would randomly turn on. I'd also seen shadow figures walking through the office behind the teller lines. I don't know if I was more scared of it being an actual person in the bank or something paranormal, but it even happened when co-workers were around and we both go looking to see what or who made the noise, and nothing was ever there. Next story. My brother and I used to run a blind manufacturing business, and when we started our web series, we started to really get into the occult, black magic, conjuring, calling out, all that stuff. After some time, the energy in the place started to really become thick. Anytime I was working, I would see shadow people out of the corner of my eye. I used to think it was just being hyper alert, you know, waiting for customers to walk back. Anyway, I used to go in super late at night and play video games and relax. I was playing games and the walls made this super loud noise. It reverberated across the walls from one side of the warehouse to the other. It was an old building, but it scared the you-know-what out of me. When I heard that noise, out of the corner of my eye was this shadow figure. That was terrifying. Shortly after, we moved buildings and opened a different business. Eventually, that entire block is now vacant and has stayed that way. Next story. I work in a hospital. One evening, I was working in a closed department that used to be an old TB ward. At about 8 p.m. in the winter, it's pitch black. I went to close up and turn off all the lights and close the doors to either wing. Two separate wings. One is a small urology theater and offices, and the other is a waiting area and consultation rooms. I was a little early for home time, so I waited in the reception area until it was time to clock out. As I glanced to my right and looked through the closed glass doors of one of the wings, I saw something moving from the waiting area to one of the closed consultation rooms. It was clear as anything, a figure moving, almost gliding from one spot to another. I thought maybe I was tired and seeing things, but my colleague saw it too, and we both fled, locked up completely, signed out from work, and asked never to work up there again. Turns out, behind this department is an abandoned quarter that was used as a dumping ground, which is, you know, very creepy and could account for what we saw gliding back and forth. Next story. Well, I used to work at a bank in Glendale, California, and we had a customer named Mr. T. He was a tall, large man who, no matter what time of year, wore a down vest, always wore sunglasses, never took them off, and when he smiled, one couldn't help but notice that his teeth were all sharp points, and he had an odd smell like fish. Once he got to know me and felt comfortable talking, he told me that he fought aliens up in Angeles Crest at night, that he worked in the Air Force and was there when aliens landed at the base he was stationed at, and when they met with President Eisenhower. He also told me that he had diagrams on how to build a flying saucer and that the aliens had told him when he was going to die. He said he could take me up to Angeles Crest to see the aliens. When he asked, I could hear the theme from Psycho and had an image of him chasing me around the forest with a knife. I politely declined, and when I told my son about the invite, he said he wanted to go, and I told him, are you crazy? He was a very interesting person and always had great stories. My son swore that he was Commander X. Next story. A few years ago, I had a dream. I had won a red VW Jetta. The next morning, on my way to work, I stopped at a filling station where they had an offer where you could win a car. The car they had on display was a red VW Jetta. So I took it as a sign. I bought some stuff inside to enter the competition, kissed the entry form before inserting it into the box, and left. My way to work, it's raining hard. I get to the huge traffic light intersection. The light is green for us, and as I drive over, a car decides to take a gap between the cars in front of me and to turn into another road. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a red Jetta blindly following, trying to do the same thing. I knew in a split second that if I hit the brakes, the car will spin out on the wet road. I just pulled my legs up to my chest in an instant. It felt like slow motion hitting that red Jetta in the middle of the two doors. I can see the front section of my car almost in slow motion crushing towards my chest. Lucky for me, this happened right next to a hospital, and there was a cop parked on the side that saw it all. The impact caused the red Jetta to literally flip in the air and come to a standstill on the opposite side of the road on its side. She turned out to be a nurse from another country that was blindly following her best friend in the car in front of her. We both walked away without a scratch. And now I guess what that dream about the red Jetta really meant. Next story. About 12 years or so ago, I worked at a relatively new shipping company. One super quiet, somewhat older lady had the singular job to gather up and distribute the incoming faxes from customers, scan them in, and give them back to the CSRs. She had this very slow, unique, and deliberate gait that became synonymous with her presence. About a little over a year after starting my employment, she was absent from work for 3 days. She was always there, never really missing time, even for vacation. The next morning, before I even got to work, I was woken out of sleep. I'm a very light sleeper, so that doesn't take much. I felt something bump into my bed and distinctly heard footsteps exactly like hers. I had plush but firm carpeting in my room, but they were completely audibly clear. Being a mom, I have inherent super hearing. My mind immediately jumped to how what I heard sounded exactly like this lady's unique shuffling footsteps. There was only 4 or 5 steps. My bed was against the corner of my room, meaning that the foot and the side facing the rest of the room were open, so to speak. The steps moved from the side to the foot of the bed, covering a span of about 5 seconds. The whole thing seemed surreal. I thought I might have been dreaming, but it niggled at the back of my mind that it wasn't a dream. Once I was at my desk, a coworker asked if I had heard about our fax lady. I just stated she died. It was said as a statement of fact, and it somewhat surprised me to realize how sure I felt about it. My coworker contradicted me and said, "No, but she's in the hospital with cancer." Now, 15 minutes later, a mass email was sent out stating that they were just informed that she had passed away earlier that morning, right around the time I was woken up in my room. She had been diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer shortly after I started working there, but didn't want anyone to pity her or treat her differently. Despite her hair thinning and other signs of this awful disease ravaging her body, we all were blissfully unaware. She kept a smile on her face and never said anything about feeling poorly. I still get chills recalling that event, but I feel it was just a friendly goodbye from our sweet fax lady. Next story. This is my story. So I work at a Dairy Queen. It was one of the first 100 Dairy Queens established in America. It was built in 1947, and out back, there's a 4-door freezer. Our topping bar and the bathroom are all original to the building. Our registers are older, but not that old. They beep sometimes, and you have to finger the keyhole to make them stop. Fingering the hole is a different beeping than the rhythmic beeping, but solves. The register starts finger beeping. I finger it to try and get it to stop, and it won't, so I verbally express my frustration. I was like, "Oh my God, Edwina, could you not touch the register, please?" As a joke, side note, we blame all the weird occurrences we have on Edwina. I don't know if that's her name, or she's even real, but anyway. After a while, there are no customers and it's silent, and I wish there were some noises, anything. It was weirdly quiet. No one was talking. and the only other sounds were the birds and bugs outside and the air curtains blowing. Some like, oh, it's not too bad. And then the beeping starts again. After a while, there's customers again, and I need to ring things up, so I'm like, okay, please stop. There are customers now. And it stops. Okay, that was weird, but like all old technology, it's probably a coincidence. Then I gotta collect on the drive-through, but the register drawer won't unlock. So I said, could someone help me get the drawer open? It's stuck. And it slides open right there. Okay, that's weird. Continued on with my day. Then I had 3 days off. And then I'm back working the closing shift. Not unusual since I'm busy till 7 on Wednesdays and busy till 10 all of the others. Everyone's left and I'm just in my car in the parking lot like I usually do when I hear this loud knocking on my window. It's 11 at night and I just hear a knock, knock, knock right next to my head. Obviously, this freaks me out and I assume it's one of my friends trying to pull a prank or something. So I get out of my car and look around. Nothing. No one is there. Got back in my car and I'm just watching things on YouTube and I look up and into my mirror because I like watching the world backwards even though it's still at night. Anyway, the store is closed and locked and I see a shadow past the drive-through window. The lights were all off, but there was a dim light behind the figure as it passed the window. It freaked me out and I got the hell out of there. I'm still shaky when I think of it. It also smelled like rotting flesh, but also we are close to a pig slaughterhouse, so that sickly sweet scent made me uncomfortable, especially since that place shuts down at 9 p.m. and everyone goes home. I'm talking about the slaughterhouse, that is. That scent is only there during the daytime. It was weird smelling it at night. It was also stronger, but again, lots of dead pigs. Probably 2 or 3 dozen trailers of pigs go there a day. So, I mean, the smell shouldn't have been so weird, but it also wasn't scent time, you know? I don't know, just something there doesn't add up. And I still can't figure out what was that shadow I saw through the drive-thru. Next story. When I was growing up, I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house. A huge creepy mansion straight out of a horror film. I live in the UK, and this place is huge with large grounds and a tiny one-bedroom shack, which we call the lodge, at the entrance of the property, just as you enter the gates. The house used to be more isolated, but as the years have gone by, the area around has become much more built up and inhabited. This means a lot of teenagers and young adults taking an interest in the creepy old house, which means break-ins and vandals becoming a real threat. I remembered as a child screaming bloody murder because I spotted a man in a hoodie hiding in a tree while I was playing. Anyway, after one too many break-ins in the lodge, which given its proximity to the edge of the property became a prime target, we decided to do something. We hired a security firm to send the guard to be there at night. I should add that the lodge was uninhabited and had been so for a number of years. So the next morning comes and when my uncle goes to check on the guard, he's nowhere to be found, despite his shift not being finished. My uncle calls the firm angrily and receives an apology and a promise to send someone else the next night. The same thing happens the next night and then the next. When my uncle calls the firm, they tell him they've done all they can, even fired the last guard for refusing to stay, and they won't be able to send anyone else. My uncle asks for the guard's number and sets up a meeting. The guard tells my uncle what happened. He was apprehensive, given his colleague's reaction to the job, but determined to complete the shift. He was a seasoned guard and had never left a job. Everything was normal until around 2 a.m. He heard a bang from inside the lodge. Strange given that it was boarded up with no entrance except the one he was guarding. Entering through the front door quietly, he paused to see if he could hear anything else. Silence. He checked the property, empty of almost all furniture, before exiting. 5 minutes later, the bang sounded again, this time clearly from upstairs. Rushing up the stairs, he entered the bedroom. In the center of the room was an armchair facing away. In it sat a black mass, a shadow-like thing, almost formless. It stood out even in the darkness of the room lit only by the moon. He froze. The shadow shifted until it was standing. It stood 2 meters from him, and he heard the bang again, but the shadow hadn't moved. It seemed to have come from the mass itself, not its movement. The guard spoke of the terror that filled him. He stood frozen, the cold of the room overwhelming him despite the warm night. A sense of danger hit him and his instincts kicked in. With overpowering terror, he turned and fled the room and the house and didn't look back until he was back at his car, where he called his boss and refused to return. Even after he was threatened with being fired, he said there was no power on earth that could make him return there. The visceral reaction he had to the whole thing made him believe it was pure evil. Something so dark, he was unwilling to even consider returning. My uncle truly believed him. The man had no reason to lie, and the sweat that broke out on his face while he told the story convinced him. Finally, after not finding any security company to send out guards, we found a solution by just getting guard dogs. Next story. This story comes from my dad, who was a security guard for the hospital in our small town. The hospital was built in 1908, established in a mining community, and then turned into a nursing home for minors. My dad had the responsibility of walking around and locking up the offices and making sure no one else stood around after 2 p.m. There was a three-story building. The bottom is where the basement and an old morgue were at. The second floor being the meeting offices, kitchen, gym, dialysis center, and visitor bathrooms. The upper floor being where all the elderly residents stayed and were taken care of. He said he was walking on the second floor, locking up the bottom visitor door, and checking the offices for people around 11 p.m. He walked by the women and men's visitor bathrooms near the gym. As he was walking by the women's restroom, he heard a woman who hacked a very loud, obnoxious cough, ripped a paper towel from the dispenser, and then it went quiet. He waited by the door for someone to come out. However, no one did. He waited a little longer and still nothing. He finally knocked on the door saying, "Ma'am?" No response back. He slowly opened the door. The light was off and it was only an echo that filled the hall when the door loudly squeaked open. He turned the light on. No one was there. He checked the two stalls and the small shower that was in there, all empty. When he glanced near the trash, he noticed a piece of torn paper towel, shriveled up and thrown in the trash. He quickly walked out of the restroom and left. To this day, he swears the cough was as clear as day, loud and eerie. He can't explain it, and he's a skeptic in the paranormal. Next story. This happened back in 2008. So, I'll give you some background on myself. At the time, I was a brand new private first class in the U.S. Army. I was an infantry soldier that happened to get stationed in Fort Myer, Virginia, to the Army Old Guard. For those that don't know, this is the Army Ceremonial Unit. We do the funerals in Arlington National Cemetery, guard the Tomb of the Unknowns, among plenty of other things. I worked the unveiling of the 9/11 Memorial at the Pentagon, Obama's first inauguration, and things like that. It's a small post, with not a whole lot of soldiers stationed there, but it borders the cemetery directly. Now, at this point, when this happened, I had been there 5 months, I believe, and it was autumn. I want to say October or November. As you can imagine, a lot of the buildings are pretty old. The cemetery was originally Robert E. Lee's land, and his house is still on there. The oldest graves go back to the Civil War. So, as I became more familiar in my company and platoon, I made friends with some of the tomb guards. These guys are out there all the time, especially while in training, which is a hellish 9 to 12 months. At night, they'll practice doing their walk, rifle manual, and when they screw up, they get smoked. They have to do physical exercises to the point of exhaustion, a common thing in the military. Anyway, a lot of these guys have some interesting stories. One of my buddies, who had been there for a while, told me some rather common spirit ghosts are seen by many of the tomb guards. One is a lady in a red dress, who kind of wanders the cemetery. From what I understand, she looks lost, and the common theory is that she is looking for a husband or significant other. She's wearing a turn-of-the-century, beautiful big red ball gown and never seems to notice the soldiers and just kind of wanders the grounds. Now, this cemetery is massive, and she doesn't always seem to be in the same spot either. Another common thing that occurs is at night soldiers will frequently hear the caisson move through the cemetery, which is a horse-drawn carriage that will carry the casket to the burial spot. However, the caisson doesn't go through at night. They hear it only. The clopping of horses' hooves on pavement, in addition to wagon wheels being rolled down as well. I'll tell you one that used to be common, and much more unsettling. near the tomb amphitheater on top of a hill is a famous mausoleum, one of only two in the whole cemetery, which belongs to the Miles family. Now, it started with General Nelson A. Miles, who had a colorful service record from the Civil War and more notably the Indian Wars. I read that he was a fairly brutal commander towards the natives, but to the truth of that, I don't know for sure. Anyway, in the mid-2000s, the armies removed the windows and put granite slabs in the way, and then put bars back on. This was not to prevent people from breaking in. After all, security is tight on the place 24/7. It was because the tomb guards often heard terrible screams and emitting a strange green light in the dead of night. From what I understand, it was terrifying. Since putting the granite slabs up, there hasn't been much talk of screams and eerie lights. I have more secondhand stories along those lines. But anyway, let me keep on going to my story. Now, this particular night was stormy. I know, cliche, right? And my wife, a buddy, and myself were all out eating dinner. He was only a few months from getting out of the army, while I was brand new. He was recently divorced, so I let him live his few remaining months out with us at our apartment. One thing led to another, and he started talking to us about creepy ghost stories he'd heard that occurred in the cemetery and the old post chapel. Now, this is the place where the funeral will occur, and from there, we'll escort the body, carry the casket, doing a firing party, which is a 21-gun salute in the cemetery. This chapel is right outside the gate, still on base, so it's right next to the cemetery. It's also pretty old. It was built in the mid-1930s, if I'm correct. Now, my buddy, we'll call him BZ, starts telling me all about spooky happenings at this location. How the MPs, military police, canines will not go inside. How a girl hung herself in the basement when the chapel was new on her wedding day. Among other things. Now, at the time, I wasn't a believer in ghosts or anything like that. And I was under the impression he's just pulling a new guy's leg. However, he says, well, the chapel and assistants are supposed to lock up the building every night. But the MPs tell me sometimes the side door is unlocked. And they check every night. Intrigued, but skeptical, I say something along the lines of, okay then, let's go check it out. It can't hurt. Now, at first he looks apprehensive, but agrees nonetheless. My wife is certainly not thrilled by the idea, but she comes along too. We get on post and drive up the chapel. It's around 9 p.m., rain coming down steadily over the car, with the occasional flash of lightning and thunder. At this point, I'm really thinking he's got a setup and is just doing this to screw with me. But armed with suspicion, I go forward with this anyway. We get out of the car and run to the side door, and lo and behold, it's open. It creaks open and sounds very much like a 75-plus-year-old building, and along with that, the stormy weather makes this sound like a cliche horror story. We step in quickly to get out of the rain. Now, I kid you not, the air was so stuffy and so thick, it felt like you could cut it with a knife. It felt very ominous and uninviting. My wife, who has more sense than I, immediately says, I'm out. Give me the keys. I'll wait in the car. Now, she gets scared easier than I do, but she also has more of a connection with spirits. Anyway, this leaves BZ and myself standing in the entryway. It's pitch black, and we're having a hard time getting a full breath of air. I can hear the air conditioning is on, so it made no sense for the place to be so stuffy. After all, I've been in this building plenty of times before, and in the dead of summer, which is humid as hell up there, even worse when you're wearing full wool uniforms. Well, now it actually starts to dawn on me that maybe he isn't kidding, and maybe the chapel is haunted. We both open our flip phones for light and make our way into the actual main room. It's very pretty, the inside of the chapel, although somewhat small. It has a high ceilings, old wooden pews down each side, stained glass windows, all white walls, the works. With stormy clouds above and no lights on other than our two old flip phones, which those of you who remember do not cast out much light, it didn't make for a settling experience. It was also so quiet. You'd think rain beating down on the building, in addition to occasional thunder, would echo throughout, but this was not the case. We made our way down the aisle, looking around as far as we could see, which I've said wasn't very far. And not finding anything really interesting. The building had some moans and groans every so often, nothing out of the ordinary, especially for such an old building. BZ and I were walking side by side, and we're nearing the end of the aisle and prepared to turn left to go through the set of doors and head down to the basement, when we heard a pew groan very loudly, and it was close behind us. It was like someone rather large had sat down the way the wood groaned. We spun around, shining our phones wildly and, of course, seeing nothing. The room seemed hazier than before, which we couldn't really explain, and it could have been our imagination. "Let's go down to the basement," BZ says, as he leads the way and opens the double doors to the stairs. I didn't think it was possible, but the air felt even thicker as we descended, getting almost hard to breathe with each step. In addition to that, it feels colder, as all basements do, but it only increased my amazement on how the air could feel this stuffy with the AC on. The basement is administration stuff. The chaplains have their offices. There's a small break room, stuff like that. Nothing too exciting down there. All the offices are locked up, and we couldn't hear or see anything unusual. We got to a set of old wooden double doors, and BZ opens the handle to another ominous creak. As I briefly mentioned earlier, a woman had supposedly hung herself from a rafter in the basement using a table to stand on her wedding day many years ago. The chaplain's assistant, enlisted guy, so we actually get to talk to them, says the table is still in the basement, and for whatever reason, it is always clean. The area around it can get dusty or dirty, but this table is always spotless. Anyway, we enter the room, and it seems more of a storage room than anything else. There are folding tables and chairs set off to the side, and there's this old refrigerator, a few old desks, and right in the middle, an old, heavy-looking table that looked spotless. Upon further investigation, everything else was dusty. As I said, it looked to be a storage room, but not this desk. BZ and I catch each other's eyes in the low light. Without saying a word, leave the room immediately. The hairs on my neck stand on, and immediately, and the feeling someone's following me creeps in on my mind. BZ exits first, me right behind, and I shut the door with a little extra force, probably just from adrenaline. BZ and I decide to head back upstairs, and we see a small glow coming from a room we didn't notice before. We walk in to find a prayer room. Forgive me if this isn't what it's called. I'm not a religious man. With a couple of small pews and a kneeling area with candles. One of these candles is lit. BZ walks over to a door leading outside and checks to make sure it's locked, which it is. I'm still standing in the middle of the room, hair standing on the back of my neck, almost like I've had a small electrical pulse going through my body and the feeling of being watched. This only makes it harder to take a full breath. The storm seems to have picked up outside, and we can hear water start to pound the stained glass with a little more force. BZ walks to the candle and says, "I've always wondered if this is true." Before I can say anything, he blows out the candle. We watch as the wick stops glowing and the smoke becomes a thin, wispy trail. An ultimate feeling of dread seems to hit us both at that moment. I can't really explain it, but you know when you've done something wrong and it just punches you in the gut? That feeling, "Let's get back to the car, man," I say, and we walk rather quickly back to the side door and out into the rain. Despite getting wet, the air immediately feels so fresh and inviting, and it helps me calm down. We run back into the car. My wife unlocks and I climb into the driver's seat, him in the back. My wife was on the phone talking to a friend to keep herself from freaking out, I suppose, and she ends up the conversation quickly to hear what we had to say. I turn back to BZ. "Why'd you blow out the candle, man? You shouldn't have done that." He replies along the lines of, "I've heard if you blow it out, it'll be relit when we go back in." It hits me, of course, that he said, "go back in." I don't really say anything else about it. Nothing truly terrifying has happened. Might as well see if the rumor is true. The three of us make small talk, and we inform my wife about the air, the pew creaking, and the table being clean. After 30 minutes, we decide to go back. My wife, of course, waits in the car. The heavy air hits us with an even more force this time as we go in. I wasn't expecting that since I knew what was coming. The only increase, my nerves and his. We walk rather quickly to the prayer room, and sure enough, the goddamn candle is lit again. the flames flickering and dancing like normal. This seems rather impossible. We'd made sure it was put out only half an hour earlier. This was no trick candle. We'd been to every single room in that chapel and confirmed we were the only two people there. It turns out we weren't. We say nothing, and this time we run back to the car. My wife knows something has happened just by the look on our faces. We tell her everything, and the drive home is rather short back to our apartment. By this point, it's around 11 p.m. We've all calmed down to a degree. We watched some TV and retired to our bedroom while he slept on the couch. It was a small apartment. Northern Virginia is an expensive place to live, especially on an enlisted soldier's salary. I woke up a few times throughout the night with a feeling of dread, but nothing too severe. My nerves were on edge, and of course, that whole experience of my mind was there all night. In the morning, I got up and walked out in the living room to find BZ is already awake, and he doesn't look like he's had much sleep. "What's going on, man?" I ask him, casually. He looks up at me from the sofa and says, "Last night, I had a dream about a bride with a rope around her neck, asking me why I blew out her candle."